4.5 years, I can say you're still strange. You're still strange to me a lot of Sundays. All of y'all. I love you for it. So many of you know that we are unaffiliated officially as a congregation, and we have such an ecumenical makeup from different denominational backgrounds. But one of our partnerships is with the Alliance of Baptists and the Association of Welcoming and Affirming Baptists. And back in 2007, a subgroup of all those Baptists out there started something through the Baptists and Women in Ministry, which was February being Martha Stearns Marshall Month of Preaching. And you can read more about her in your bulletin. I encourage you to do so. Martha Stearns Marshall lived in the 18th century. She and her husband were both preachers. As you can imagine, he was a licensed preacher and she was not. But she was just as fiery as he was. And in her memory and in the memory of other female preachers that have come over the years, congregations across the country participate in February as a month of women preaching. Now, that's not new to us, obviously, 4.5 years of it. But the idea is also that we open up our pulpits to women who maybe don't have a pulpit to preach in regularly, because a lot of churches haven't made that shift. And so we're thrilled this morning to have Kristen Wooldridge come to our pulpit, which I joke about a lot, our music stand. Some of you might recognize Kristen. She was here just a little over 3 years ago when the twins were born a little early. She came and preached for me, but I wasn't here, so I'm excited to have her here and get to hear her. Kristen went to William Jewell, like me, but a little bit before me. We weren't there together. And then she also is a graduate of Central Seminary. She has a Master of Divinity there. She works now at William Jewell College with students and Greek life. Has been there a couple years now, I believe, almost three. And is just doing great things at William Jewell. She's also a member of Second Baptist Church in Liberty, where my husband is. And so two of her three children get the joy of hanging out with my husband on a weekly basis. So pray for her and her family. yes, and them, because they're exposed to Charles on a regular basis. So Kristen and I have known each other for a number of years, and she's got some Liberty friends with her here today. And some of our members that are from Liberty know her, like Seth and Abby. So we're thrilled to have her with us. You can read more about Kristen as well in your bulletin. So let's continue with worship.
Some words from Francis of Assisi. While you are proclaiming peace with your lips, be careful to have it even more fully in your heart, for it is in pardoning that we are pardoned. Where there is charity and wisdom, there is neither fear nor ignorance. It is no use walking anywhere to preach unless our walking is our preaching. For we must preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words.
Chapter, verses 1 through 9. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." And while he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them. And from the cloud a voice said, "This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." And when the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead.
Well, good morning. I am loving spending time with you all. I'm just short enough, but I'm just needed a little bit better. I was thrilled when Stephanie asked me to preach today. Thank you very much. As a woman called to preach, it's an honor to be here with you and your beloved Crossroad family. I usually preach a couple times a year to help my pastoring friends so they can travel, take maybe a self-care Sunday, or in February I get called to preach quite often. Finding someone willing to step in on a Sunday is no easy task. It's basically inviting them to write a term paper. So, thanks, Steph. With no grade. So. I believe that the number one fear still is public speaking, am I right? Yeah. So adding theology on top sure doesn't make this a great ask. But I'm very happy to be here. Because I don't preach anywhere weekly, because that isn't my calling right now. I preach as I can, when I can, and in help of others. Enneagram 2, if anybody cares, so majorly. So I didn't grow up hearing women preach or see them lead in my church. I was nearly 20 when I saw my first woman preach for the first time, and it changed my life. I knew that the ground shifted that day. What I thought I knew started to be questioned, and over time, that guided me all the way through seminary here in Kansas City. That was a culture shock for sure, but a welcomed one. And now I use my Master's of Divinity every day, working with wonderful students at William Jewell College, as I care and plan and support them. So again, thank you for having me. With that said, we have a meaty text and quite a day to look at, but we can do this together. Today is Transfiguration Sunday, which we've said multiple times, in lots of different cool ways, which is really exciting. But the one way it hasn't been said, which I'm super happy about, because I wrote about it for like a paragraph and a half, and I thought, well, if they take this from me, we're done. So, so my favorite way to think of this is Metamorphosis Sunday, because for anybody who loves science or butterflies, I'm a fan of both. I'm a fan of butterflies and science. So metamorphosis marks a time when what was something is no longer, and something new has emerged. In that passage from Matthew that was just read, Jesus metamorphosized. He went with a couple of close friends to a quiet, high mountain place. It was a retreat. Jesus did this often. It was so high that they believed that it was actually where heaven met earth. But before we get into all that and what happened on that high mountaintop, I want to circle back to the word transfiguration. For me, evolvement is something I'm intrigued by. What was is not again. Personally, I've experienced this. Perhaps you have too. You are somewhere, and all of a sudden, it no longer works for you because you have evolved. For me, it was being raised in a faith tradition that didn't have a place for women called to preach or teach in the church outside the little kids on Sunday school mornings. I think I always knew deep down that women were and are created in God's image too. And even if I didn't hear that message from the pulpit, I knew that it was true. And women were made for so much more. And as a teen in my confirmation class, I asked what role women play in the church. And the pastor got quite mad. The pastor got so frustrated with me, with my endless questioning, that he actually threw the good book right above my head where I was sitting. So I struck a nerve. Yep, smack above me. It hit the cinder block wall and slumped to the ground. I stopped asking about roles, but in that moment, I was changed. I remember that after that class, I picked up that Bible from behind my chair and walked it to where he was sitting. I placed it there and said nothing. He said nothing too, but he looked really angry. And I just left the room. And I knew right then that the reason I was asking what God was wanting me to be was because I was evolving out of that place. Of course, that takes time and a lot of gumption and being willing to risk everything I knew for the unknown. But it was a start. I can clearly remember feeling emboldened that day as a 13-year-old to pay attention. I was going to pay attention to women's roles everywhere, in society, in work, in church, and in life. My inner 13-year-old was really pleased when I graduated seminary in 2016 with my Master's of Divinity. Like, she was crazy excited. It was a big so there moment. But it had been a long metamorphosis of 20 years, but it all helped me be a closer version of what God called me to be, and I started living into that calling. And now I'm a witness to evolvement and speak into giftedness every day in my work on a college campus. For anyone who hasn't been on a college campus in a while, it's all about change all the time, and I love it. I tell students all the time, especially their first year of college, that if you don't stretch, you're gonna break. And it's true. That stretching is holy and hard work. The kind where you can't see where things are going until you look back and see what's changed you. Some students find college a really safe place to be, and they can transform. It could be what they study. It could be a new dream for after college. It could be who they love. And for some, they embrace the gender they know they truly are. And that transformation is something I wholeheartedly support. To live into their self fully, amen. To claim their chosen name, amen. To be themselves with professors and peers, amen. It is their mountaintop moment. You see their faces awash with relief when their dead name is said no longer or used on campus. You see them respond to their chosen name and build their confidence each time they're accepted. You see a transfiguration happen. They are changed. But just like we heard in the reading, they often say, tell no one. They haven't approached their families yet or anyone off campus out of the bubble that we have. They often apply for extended break holidays, so they're not the first ones to rush home and start doing laundry and loafing around on the sofa. They want to stay where they're safe, and we allow that. Because short visits means they can be back to themselves sooner, and we get it. They don't want to be excluded from their family systems. They want to continue to grow stronger in their identity and profess it on their own terms. It is their transformation, and not just a transition. And I stand in support of them. Sometimes that means that I do a lot of listening and a lot of brainstorming of how to approach parents, and I spend a lot of time on my own praying. Praying for them to be safe, praying for them to be supported, praying for them to just be loved. And if it isn't found at home, it'll be on campus, and it'll surely be with me. As a cis mom of three in her early 40s, almost mid-40s, it's fine. That's my own problem. It's okay. I just knew that I needed to figure this out and learn more. And the first thing I do is I find books. So when I started in this job 3 years ago on a college campus, I had come from a ministry background working with moms. So completely polar opposite to 18 and 22-year-old people who don't want to be moms. So I had to figure out all kinds of students. I had to figure out what I actually ordered a slew of books. I was like, what does it look like for transgender students in college? What does it look like for mixed heritage students? What does it look like for African American students? I mean, I literally was like, I'm super white, and I am super normal, weird, whatever normal is, and I got to figure things out. And so through conversations, I've learned how to do that too. But first was books. And one of the best books I read was Trans in College. It's called Trans in College, Transgender Students, Strategies for Navigating Campus Life and Institutional Politics of Inclusion by Z. Nicolazzo. I knew that I was called to learn more and to create a safe place. And early in that book, there's a quote from Jennifer Finney Boland that says, gender is many things, but one thing it surely not is, it is not a hobby. Being trans is something you do not do because it's clever or postmodern. It is life. Their transformation is their transfiguration, and I'm thankful and honored to be a support adult, like a support animal. You know, mine, I don't wear a vest, but I do really like treats. So I feel like support adult is really my calling in life. Like they found a time when they could no longer live who they were without evolvement and change, and I'm going to witness it, I'm going to celebrate it, and I'm going to be with their person. And that's what we see in the story from Matthew. Weeks prior to this mountaintop moment, Jesus had been baptized by John the Baptist, and a voice from heaven spoke over him. It said, "This is my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased." And again, on that mountaintop, where heaven met the earth, the same voice spoke over Jesus. And that voice from heaven said again, "This is my son, the beloved, with whom I'm well pleased." And this is our example from God, I believe, in unconditional love and acceptance. Jesus was changed. His friends with him knew it, but I'm not sure they could really understand it, especially from what all that happens in front of them. They didn't get a lot of things until way after, if you didn't figure that out. They are clueless most of the time, like us. And how the next few weeks would change everything in their lives completely. They had no idea. So on that return from the mountain, Jesus told them, "Tell no one." The timing wasn't right. They'd be called after his death, his resurrection, and his ascension to tell others, and they would remember this time. This time where Jesus turned into a whole different person in front of them. We all have tell no one moments in our lives. When we're still trying to figure out the next right thing to do or what something means to us. And from this story, I take that telling no one is truly temporary. It doesn't last. It's a short period of time when you're still trying to figure out, I would say from your head, from your butt is what I would say if I was at my day job. I tell students all the time, "I think we're just trying to figure out our head from our butt." And they laugh. And it's true. You just need a little time. So to be created for community, as the people of Jesus are, we just need to let others into our truth and trust that they can accept, support, and love us as a beloved child of God. I'd like to pray for us. Stephanie's laughing. I'm going to pray this for Stephanie extra. God, you are with us on each mountaintop and in each valley. You are near us daily as we gain awareness and find challenges. You are with us as we consider change and follow through with creating anew. Stay with us as we figure out who you've called us each to be. Keep waking us up to our true selves. Stretch us, be with us, help each of us be supportive, loving, support people in the world as people grow and transform around us, and let us be kind to ourselves. Amen.
I'm a little worried that you have me timed. I might switch it up occasionally just to mess with the band if you go to the restroom or get a drink.
We have our secrets.
You have your secrets, I'm sure. A couple things to bring to your attention so you can be a part of the community in the upcoming weeks. This Wednesday, Lent begins. It's Ash Wednesday, which is, you know, why we ate pancakes this morning. Not just because they're delicious, but as you might recall, we are coming together with Broadway and with Trinity United Methodist Church for Ash Wednesday and Maundy Thursday and Good Friday. We are hosting Good Friday, so in the meantime, those other two services will be hosted by the other two congregations, and that information is in your bulletin, it's online, all of those places you can look it up. So this Wednesday, we will be at Broadway for Ash Wednesday. This is our second year of coming together with them, and I hope that you will join us. They have a new location. The address is in your bulletin. They're on Jarbo, so you can come. There's street parking, and it's at 6:30. All of the services, the joint services, are at 6:30, so hopefully you're off work and can come together for that time this Wednesday and then during Holy Week. Also coming up in your bulletin, it says we have Fires of Fellowship on Friday night at 7. That may get moved
to another day. So just stay tuned, watch again online, and we'll post you if we need to adjust that to another date. And then next Sunday, we have a community meeting after church. If you were at the community meeting last month, we discussed an AOP, an agreement on procedure concerning if we want to explore paying off the church's mortgage. And so next Sunday is when we come back together and discuss that and vote on if we want to move forward. So it's a little more casual next week. It's a sack lunch, so bring something to eat. We'll be downstairs after worship for that meeting. If you have questions or concerns, send those to Terry May when he has a pen in his hand, not drumsticks. And he will try to get some answers and some information on that stuff prior to the meeting, so we're well prepared. So that's next Sunday. One last thing as you go out, you probably remember that during Advent, we had these wonderful devotionals, and we have those again for Lent this year. And there are three or four readings or pieces of artwork for you to reflect on during each week of Lent, which again begins Wednesday, right? So this is a very personal kind of reflection devotional, if you're interested in that. But we also have an additional one this year, which you may prefer, which are these cards. And you can use them as an individual, or they're also really great for families or couples. Each one has a word on one side or a phrase, and then on the other side, a short scripture and a prayer. And you don't have to worry about mixing them up. There's no order to them, okay? And you just pick one for every day. And if you miss a day, no big deal. Just go to another one. So when we threw out these options, some of you said, I'd really like the personal daily devotion where I can write and I can look at paintings and, you know, color and all this kind of stuff. And some of you said this would work better for your style or your family. So when you go out today, there is a table with both options. And take the one that you prefer. If we run out, don't worry. We will print more and have them next Sunday. We just didn't quite know how many of you wanted each kind. Okay, so we'll have those out. So grab those today if you can. I'm going to invite Kristen back up to offer our benediction. And let's just thank her for being with us this morning and sharing a word. Why don't we stand for our benediction?
Anybody hear me? Oh, there we are. All right. As we leave this place today, Leah.